we've been talking a little bit about issues that surround authority. We talked a bit about some definitions, and we talked about different ways that people use the Bible as a source of authority. And tonight, and oh, thank you, I do need to record this.
Recording in progress.
Thanks, Jerry. We talked a little bit about definitions of authority. We talked some about the way that people use the Bible as a source of authority and what they add to it or sometimes take away from it. And so tonight, we're going to begin a discussion of ways that people disobey God. And we're going to talk about, tonight we're going to talk about some Old Testament examples, and hopefully we'll be able to get through all of them. If we don't, that's okay. We can continue the discussion next week, and then we'll add to that some illustrations from the New Testament of ways that people disobeyed God. So we're going to follow a kind of a pattern. We're going to talk about a person. We're going to talk about some of the activities that that person engaged in. And then we're going to try to understand why those activities were problematic. Now, when we talk about a person engaging in an activity that is a disobedient activity, we're not necessarily indicating that that person lived a life characterized by disobedience. One of the people we're going to talk about tonight is David. And David was guilty of disobedience, but David is called a man after God's own heart. We know that when David disobeyed, he asked God to forgive him. And God was more than willing to forgive. And David, of course, even exalts in the fact that God was willing to forgive. So when I talk about individuals, I don't want to give the impression that these cases of disobedience defined their whole life. Sometimes that's the only time that we ever talk about them. The first one we're going to talk about is one of the people that's that way. We're going to talk about Nadab and Abihu. And we only ever make reference to Nadab and Abihu in terms of their disobedient activity. Now, I'm sure that they did a lot of things that were obedient to God, but this is the one that strikes us. This is the one that's recorded for us. So we're going to talk about it a little bit. Can I get somebody to read Leviticus 10? Verses 1 and 2.
I got that, Dean.
Okay.
Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And the fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord.
Okay, so here's Nadab and Abihu. And really the way that we remember Nadab and Abihu is they offered fire that God had not commanded. So let's break that activity down. And as we consider the component parts of that activity, we'll talk about how that was disobedient and what about it was disobedient. The first thing that you notice about what Nadab and Abihu did is that they offered incense at the wrong time. Can somebody read the 10th chapter, verses 14 and 16? You can read 14, 15, and 16 if you'd like.
I can read it.
Okay.
The breast of the wave offering, however, and the thigh of the offering you may eat in a clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with you. For they have been given as your due and your sons' due out of the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the sons of Israel. The thigh offered by lifting up and the breast offered by waving, they shall bring along with the offerings by fire of the portions of fat to present as a wave offering before the Lord. So it shall be a thing perpetually due you and your sons with you, just as the Lord has commanded. But Moses searched carefully for the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it had been burned up. So he was angry with Aaron's surviving sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, saying, do you want me to go on? Did I read the right thing?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. But Moses, it says to...
I think you've read enough to establish the proposition that there was a specified time that they were supposed to offer incense or make an offering with fire. And Nadab and Abihu offered fire at a time that was not specified. So because it was not specified by God as a time when you were supposed to do this, their activity constituted disobedience to God. So some of the things that we'll be discussing tonight are activities that God didn't specify. He didn't say that that's what he wanted people to do. So they just went beyond it and they did something else. The second thing that we can observe about Nadab and Abihu offering the fire that he had not commanded, it was the wrong source. Leviticus 16, can somebody read verse 12 there?
I can. He shall take a fire pan full of coals of fire from upon the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil.
Okay, so there was a fire that burned on the altar, and that's where they were supposed to get the fire that was to be used in their offering, but they didn't get it from that source. They got it from another source, strange fire. So it was not, God never said, don't use other fire. He said, use the fire from the altar. So when they went and did something that was not specified, it was disobedient to God. Exodus, the 30th chapter at verse 9. Can somebody read that?
You shall offer no unholy incense thereupon, no burnt offering, no cereal offering, and you shall pour no libation thereon.
Okay. So in this case, God had forbidden them to do what Nadab and Abihu had done. Sometimes it's not, you go beyond what God had said. It's not specified. And if it's not specified by God, then it's disobedience. Sometimes God actively forbids you to do it. And if that's the case, and you do it, then it's disobedience. We talked a little bit about this when we talked about some gotchas that we deal with. You know, you send your kids into their room and you say, no screen time until you have cleaned your room. And so they don't get out the screens. Instead, what they do is they read a book. Well, because they were reading the book, it was not specified. You didn't forbid it. You forbid or forbade the screen time. But it doesn't make any difference. In either case, it's still disobedience. And it's important for us to understand both of those kinds of disobedience. Let's talk a little bit about David. And of course, David is a man after God's own heart. I think we could conclude that as a general rule, David always wanted to follow God. Now, sometimes he didn't. And he was confronted about his sin, asked for God's forgiveness, and he was forgiven. So let's read a little bit about David. The record of it, the record of the activity, is in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 3 and reading all the way through verse 7. And then, because of what Chronicles is, 1 and 2 Chronicles is the kind of the description of the activity. And to the description of the activity, there is an addition, and that's the way that the priest viewed what the activity was. So let's read those two passages. First, 2 Samuel 6, beginning at verse 3.
They placed the ark of God on a new cart that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Ahio was walking ahead of the ark. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, and with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbal. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out towards the ark of God and took hold of it, for the ox nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his reverence, and he died there before the ark of the Lord.
So before we read 1 Chronicles, let's just stress the idea here that David was trying to do something to honor God. He was trying to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to the city of Jerusalem. Now, 1 Chronicles 15.
That's kind of starting in the middle of a sentence. I'm going to back up and read verse 11. Then David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab, and said to them, "You are the heads of the fathers' households of the Levites. Consecrate yourselves, both you and your relatives, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place that I have prepared for it. Because you did not carry it in here at the first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to an ordinance." So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. The sons of the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with poles thereon, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord.
Okay. So after they had had the difficulty when they tried to move the ark on the cart, then they decided, wait, we're going to have to do this exactly the way that God had commanded it to be done in Exodus 25. So these priests bore the ark according to the specific regulations that God had given. But when they put it on the cart and they tried to move it on the cart, that was disobedience. It was not disobedience because they just didn't care about God. They were trying to bring the ark to the city of Jerusalem. It was out of respect, but they did not seek him according to the ordinance when they put it on the cart. So this activity, transporting it on the cart, at no place did God ever say, transport it on a cart. God specified how it was to be transported in Exodus 25. And of course, that's repeated by Moses when he gives his history of everything up to his death in Deuteronomy. But relative to the law, the activity was not specified, and so it becomes disobedience. Let's go on to the next example. And this is Jeroboam. Jeroboam, unlike David, is not a man who is after God's heart. Jeroboam seems to be serving his own desires. And Jeroboam is a bit more egregious about the things that he does that are disobedience. So we're going to talk about some of the things that Jeroboam did. And we know that his heart was not like David's, but both of them engaged in activity that are at one point called disobedience. So let's begin to read about Jeroboam in 1 Kings, the 12th chapter. And by the way, thank you, Ted, for reading all those names. We don't have as many names to follow here. 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 28. Who would like to read that?
I'll read it. So the king consulted and made two golden calves, and he said to them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Egypt." And he set one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. And he made houses on high places and made priests from among all the people who were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam instituted a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like the feast which is in Judah. And he went up to the altar. Thus he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves which he had made, and he stationed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. Then he went up to the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he instituted a feast for the sons of Israel and went up to the altar to burn incense.
Okay, thank you. And now let's get the commentary on this, the priest's commentary from 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Who would like to read beginning in verse 8?
So now you intend to resist the kingdom of the Lord through the sons of David, being a great multitude and having with you the golden calves which Jeroboam made for gods for you. Have you not driven out the priest of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and made for yourselves priests like the peoples of other lands? Whoever comes to concentrate himself with a young bull and seven rams, even he may become a priest of what are no gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the sons of Aaron are ministering to the Lord as priests, and the Levites attend to their work. Every morning and every evening, they burn to the Lord burnt offerings and fragrant incense, and the showbread is set on the clean table, and the golden lampstand with its lamps is ready to light every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him.
Okay, so what Jeroboam had done caused the rift between the northern and southern tribes, the northern 10 tribes, the southern 2 tribes. The sons of Levi that were in the northern 10 tribes basically left. They were driven out because of what Jeroboam was doing, and they had gone to the southern 2 tribes where they continued their priestly duties. And they comment on what Jeroboam has done in the northern 10 tribes. So in that one short reading, you see a lot of different activities that Jeroboam had engaged in. He made golden calves. Now, we know that that was forbidden. They were not to make these images that would represent God. He set up worship at Dan and Bethel. That was disobedience because God had never said set up worship at Dan and Bethel. He didn't specifically say don't worship at Dan and Bethel. He just said, I want you to worship in Jerusalem. So what Jeroboam did in setting up the worship at Dan and Bethel was not specified. It was disobedience. He set up the houses of high places, and that was, again, forbidden by God. It was specifically forbidden, so it's disobedience. He appointed priests from among the people. All it took was for a man to bring a certain offering, and he could be a priest. That was forbidden. God had set up the priesthood in Numbers, the 16th chapter. And because these were not the things that God had said he wanted them to do, these were not the things that the people had done as an example, then again, this is disobedience. He set up new feasts, and they were feasts that he devised in his own heart. Again, not specified by God. It doesn't matter why he wanted them to have those feasts. It doesn't matter whether he wanted those feasts to honor God. But because God had not specified those feasts, it was disobedience. And he of course, burned incense by himself. He was not of the tribe of Levi. And so this was forbidden because God had already given them the example of who was to provide or who was to burn incense. It was the tribe of Levi. So different activities that Jeroboam engaged in became sin relative to the law for different reasons. But in any case, they were all disobedience. Whether it's forbidden or it's not specified or it's forbidden by an example. To the contrary, I might add, this becomes disobedience. Let's look at Uzziah. Not Uzzah. This is King Uzziah. And we'll read about what he did. We'll not read the account of exactly what he did, read the priest's commentary about what Uzziah did in 2 Chronicles. So I've referred to this a number of times. 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings are basically the history. It's a recording of the activity. 1 and 2 Chronicles goes back and looks at the same activities but provides the divine commentary on what they were doing. So somebody read 2 Chronicles 26, beginning at verse 16, and we'll see the divine commentary on what Uzziah had done.
I can do that.
Okay.
But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. And Uzziah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him. Behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out because the Lord had smitten him. So King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land.
Boy, sometimes I wish that God dealt with disobedience today as swiftly as he had dealt with the disobedience in the past. And you know, I'm reminded of the statement that Peter makes, that because judgment doesn't come swiftly, sometimes people conclude that there is no judgment. But in this case, it was swift, it was sure, it demonstrated that Uzziah had been guilty of disobedience. And the priest, I love that translation, Ralph. It's excellent because it stresses exactly what Uzziah had done. He was forbidden to bring this incense himself because God had said, "This is who I want to bring the incense." Now, the priests explained that to Uzziah. So it's this, what Uzziah has done was forbidden by the example that God had given already. So it's a disobedience. Again, you have the activity. He entered the temple to offer incense himself. That activity had been forbidden, not because God said, "Uzziah, you will not make an offering of incense," but because God had said, "I want the priests to make the offering." So because of the way that God had said it, it was forbidden for Uzziah to do that. So that's all of the information that I have at this point. Let me open this up for discussion. I think these are important points that we need to always remember when we think about obedience and disobedience to God. So let me open this up for comments.
Dean, I used to use the illustration that for a long time I was a paint contractor, and if someone asked me to paint their living room a pale blue, and they came home and I had it a fire engine red, I thought that they ought to be happy that I chose the fire engine red because they didn't tell me not to. And that just makes about as much sense as Uzziah usurping the authority of the priests because he didn't have the authority to do so, no more than I did to paint the living room red.
Exactly. Exactly. And the point is well taken, Ralph. But this is kind of illustrative of one form of that gotcha that we talked about when we talked about mature Christians learning to distinguish between what's right and what's almost right. Almost right is usually disobedience. But like you say, Ralph, I don't think you were doing it to be obnoxious or mean. If you painted it red, you probably painted it red because you, as a painter, thought that was the best color to put in that living room.
Well, I'd be so bold as to actually do that. But it makes a good illustration.
Yeah, it does.
About instrumental music.
The same thing has to do with instrumental music. God hasn't ever said don't use it. He just didn't tell us to use it.
Right. Well, we'll get to some of those illustrations again when we go on in our discussion, but you're right. I just want to establish the general principle of disobedience and understanding what disobedience is.
Dean?
Yes.
It seems to me that really the root of disobedience is lack of respect for the authority of God. It can be ignorance if you go back to the garden or deception. But when Adam sinned, he disrespected God's authority, the power of God, and his right to rule.
Okay. Good point, Carol. Good point. I don't remember who it was, but a friend of mine was talking about sin, and he said, you know, everything that God made is good. It becomes sin when we take it and use it in a way that God didn't intend for us to use it. Sexual relations between a man and a woman are wonderful. God said, do that in marriage. And we make it sin when we take it out of marriage and we do it in a way that God didn't specify. So, yeah, I think that's an excellent point.
For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in these books.
Good point, Professor.
See, Ted's been back at it.
I wish I could take credit, but I'm not a co-host tonight, so blame someone else.
Oh, I'll have to dig. I'll have to find some clues.
Look for the people that are co-hosts. That would be Lenny
and Dean.
Oh yeah, and me.
All right. Well, that's a good start.
It's just fun to pick on you, Ron, because you're so amenable to it.
Well, that's okay. My wife starts on me all the time, so I'm used to it.
I am not rendering a charge against an elder.
I would dispute that.
Okay. Good comments. I hope this is helpful. It's just, it's laying the foundation for where we're going to eventually wind up. But if we lay this foundation carefully, then I think people begin to see what disobedience is. Thanks everybody for joining us. I hope that it's been, hope that our study has been helpful. I'm really looking forward to beginning our discussion of restoration history on Thursday when I get back. I will try to send out the invitations for the class and a bit of a study guide. As you'll notice from the study guide that I'll be sending out, we're going to talk about four different periods of restoration in this country. And we're going to spend about between 6 and 8 weeks on each of the four periods. But we're going to take a break because I don't want to just run this class until the cows come home. So we're going to take a break. We'll do 6 or 8 weeks, then we'll take a break. 6 or 8 weeks, then we'll take a break. 6 or 8 weeks, then we'll take a break. And it, that my impression from having taught a lot of adults is that doing things that way lets people kind of digest the material that we've discussed already. And then we can use that material as we go on. So we'll be beginning that Thursday night after I get back. That'll be, let's see, Thursday the 7th. And so I'll be sending out the invitations for that as quickly as I get to a place where I have a stable internet and I'm not burning up time on my phone. Any other questions that we need to make people that need to be asked? We're not going to have prayer meeting tomorrow night because we'll be on the road, but we will be meeting on Wednesday night, and Ron will continue his discussion of Ezekiel. And I'll be sending out the invitations for Ron's class. And Ron, did you have a study guide that you want me to send out?
Yes, I have one, and I will get that to you either later this evening or first thing in the morning.
Okay, sounds good.
It's chapters 35, and I'd appreciate it everybody would read chapter 35 through chapter 39. We probably won't get that far, but we'll get a good start on it, and I'll have some questionnaire that they can peruse and fill out if they desire.
Okay.